Good morning. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'd like for us to do something as we start together today. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think of something that you're thankful for. Can you do that? Just take a moment and something that you're thankful for. All right. Hopefully it wouldn't take real long. Sometimes it does. And here's what I want you to do next. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what you're thankful for. Tell them what the Lord showed you in your mind, in your heart today. Yeah. You know, there's something about that that really helps us be who God wants us to be. And when we're thankful, it's really an act of worship. It really is. So last week we looked at building a lasting foundation. A foundation that was already laid by Jesus. And if our thoughts are compared to the precious stones that are built on that foundation, then our words are nearly as important, if not even in at times even more so. And so they represent the silver. So last week we talked about gold, silver, and precious stones. And the precious stones were likened unto our thoughts, that our thoughts really lay that groundwork for how we're going to be as believers, how we're going to conduct ourselves, building on the strong foundation of Jesus Christ. And so today what we're going to look at is, wait a minute. How well did you did at thinking about what you were thinking about? Did anybody rise to the occasion on that? Like, did you think about it through the week? Like, wait a minute, I need to really be mindful of what I'm thinking about. Or maybe if I've gone to a place that I shouldn't mentally, or I stayed a little too long somewhere in my thoughts, that I came back over to center. Were there any of you here that were able to do that? Well, good. All right. So, and here's the other thing that was interesting. Last week we celebrated Lent, and Lent is always a time where we lay something down or we sacrifice something for God. And so that could be with your thoughts. Hopefully today what we're going to discover is that through our words that we can be dedicated and committed to Him as well. So think about this for a moment. Most people speak 16,000 words a day. Can you believe that? 16,000 words a day. What my takeaway from that is that I can get into a lot of trouble somewhere around 4,000. You know, or maybe even before that, maybe even, you know, around 2000, I might say something that I shouldn't have said or I wish I would have said it different or whatever. So we all can do better at that. And the Bible has a lot to say about our words. Our words, which Matthew 12 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you, these are the words of Jesus, you'll give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words that you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So that is really a challenging verse, isn't it? You know, last week we started our time with 2 Corinthians 5:10, and it said, we'll all stand before God to be judged. So, We're going to be judged by every idle word that we say. And the word idle is defined as lazy, careless, thoughtless, unprofitable, or injurious. Say it again. Lazy, careless, thoughtless, unprofitable, or even injurious. So how many of us find ourselves wading around in that stuff from time to time? How many of us wish that we wouldn't be lazy with our words, that we wouldn't be careless, that we would be, you know, thoughtful with what we say, and that our words would be profitable and they wouldn't cause injury or harm, but that they would build people up and strengthen one another. Isn't that the way you want to be? So this message is actually split in two. This message is what we shouldn't do. Next week, we're going to see what we should do or how we can speak and how we can use our words to do just that, to lift people up. This week, we're going to look at how our words can tear down and how our words can be used by the enemy to injure people and to cause harm. So here's the thing that I want us to remember though about this message. I don't think that we're supposed to go around always afraid of what we're going to say. I don't think that that's the point of this, that we're scared to say anything because we're scared that we're going to mess something up. But I will tell you this, the older I've gotten, I don't talk as much as I used to. And you're probably glad for that. You probably are. You're like, man, good, because I would have hated to have seen him 20 years ago. If he's this way now, what was he like 20 years ago? I've learned through hardship. I've learned through mistakes that not everybody cares about what I want to say. And I don't need to insert myself into conversations with people, that I can be quiet and I can be all right with that, that people don't always want my opinion. And so I've had to learn that over the years. And so I don't think, though, we need to be afraid to walk around and that we need to evaluate or overthink what we're going to say or what we're talking about. But there is a point, there is something that we could all learn from and grow from, and maybe that we could do better. And so that's hopefully what you'll leave here with today, is that you'll have enough tools to be able to be better than you were when you came in. So how many of you want to be better? And maybe some of you are already doing great at this. Maybe you've already kind of learned some of this, but I think we could all do better. And then there are those of us that we really need some work. You know, we need some construction. There needs to be some renovation with our words. Then I think that you can leave here today with the tools that you need to make your life better. All right? I think that our words are the medium of exchange. So you have your thoughts, and then you have actions. So the middle part, I think, are our words. And so they have tremendous value. They have tremendous authority. Tremendous power is with our words. And unfortunately, there's a phrase that says this, talk is cheap. But that's pretty real, isn't it? Talk is cheap. And the scripture tells us where this all started. In Genesis 1, verse 3, it says this, then God said. And it's such a short little phrase, but there's tremendous information packed into that. Then God said. And you know what happened after he said? The world was created. Everything we know, the universe, the stars, the human beings, creatures, the earth as we know it was created because God said it. And then you remember in Mark 11, Jesus is traveling on the road, and there's a fig tree that has leaves on it, which would indicate that there would be figs on it. Even though it wasn't time for figs, there were still leaves on it. And Jesus went over to get one, and there was nothing on it, and so he cursed it. And then the next day, as they were coming back by that tree, Peter, one of the disciples, said, hey, Lord, look, there's the tree that you cursed, and it had withered up, and it had killed it. And the point is this, that our words can either bring life or they can bring death. Our words have tremendous, tremendous authority and power. And so what we can learn from that is that we shouldn't misrepresent ourselves like the fig tree did. Like it should have had figs on it, but it didn't. And we as believers, if we say we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, then our words need to reflect the commitment that we have made in our hearts. Proverbs 18:20 says this, wise words satisfy like a good meal, and the right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And so we're either bringing life with what we're saying, or we're bringing death with what we're saying. And hopefully, by the time we're through this, we're going to realize that let's tip the scales in our lives. Like if we're teetering, or maybe it's disproportionate that our conversation, our words are not godly, that they're not wholesome, they're not productive, they're negative, fault-finding, or whatever. Let's tip the scale. Let's get back over into the way that we should conduct ourselves as believers. The talk that we say, and even the self-talk that we have. James chapter 3 gives us three illustrations of that. Here's what's interesting. These three examples are very small things, but they control great they have great and tremendous control over what they represent. The first one is a bit in a horse's mouth. A bit causes a horse to go this way or that. It's really small, but yet it has tremendous impact. And then, of course, we all know a rudder of a ship. You know, a rudder compared to a big ship is very, very small, but it sets the course for that ship, and it gives it direction to go which way it needs to go. The same ways with our words and with our tongue. And then finally, a small fire, it says in James chapter 3. A small fire can do tremendous damage. You know, just like what we've seen in our country over the last few months, that something very small, you know, even as small as a cigarette thrown out of a window can cause great havoc. How much more so is our tongues? Our tongues can either build up or they can tear down. They can either bring life or they can bring death. And so it's a small little thing. And some people have said that your tongue is the strongest muscle in your body. I don't know. It's probably because it gets a great workout, doesn't it? You know? I don't think we set out to, you know, when we go train or we go to work out or whatever, they're going to work out our tongue. But nonetheless, it gets its share of reps, doesn't it? Our tongues. It's because it's always flapping around in our mouths and in our heads. And so we need to be careful of that as well. James 3 goes on to say this: with the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. You know, and it shouldn't be so. Like, that shouldn't be true. Like, we should either bless God and bless people and live that way and not be double-minded and fickle in that sense, you know. Let's be who we're called to be. Let's be the people that God wants us to be, created in His image and bringing life to our conversations. So Jesus said this in Matthew 5, and then it's reiterated in James 5 about let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so many times we have good intentions with our words, and we make promises, and we make commitments that at the time we feel like, yeah, I can follow through with that, but because circumstances present themselves or things change, or maybe we change our minds or we decide we don't want to do it, then what happens? Then we go back on what we said we would do. We break our promises. And Matthew 5 says this, verse 37, Jesus said, anything beyond this, your yes or your no, is from the enemy. And so I think what Jesus is trying to say is that many times we have a great intentions with what we're going to do. You know, we have great ideas with what we're going to accomplish. And we boast big things, and then we have little follow through. Here's what we all should live by, and that is this: promise a little, deliver a lot. Promise a little, deliver a lot. I mean, how many of you know people in your life that they make big promises and there's little follow through? I mean, nobody wants to be like that. And to be around somebody like that, like, you don't trust them because you don't really know what you're going to get. Like, they may say one thing and then not follow through, and it may not happen. But yet we can be people who promise a little, but yet deliver a lot. Has anybody ever told you, said, hey, let's do lunch sometime, you know? And they don't mean that. Like, you're not going to go to lunch with them, let's face it, okay? And they may even want to at the time. Like, there may be even, yeah, I really want to go to lunch with you. But then something happens between, you know, that day and the next day. And it's that people have, sometimes people are well-meaning. There are other times when people just tell you what they want you to hear. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be somebody that tells people what they want to hear just to appease them or to make them feel good. I want to be a truth teller. I want to be a straight shooter with people. And I want to do what I say I'm going to do. And I also want to promise a little and deliver a lot. That's the way I want to be. Have you ever, even when one thing happens with somebody, there's a distrust that happens. Like 99% of the time, people can say and do what they say they're going to do, but it only takes once or twice for them not to do that, where you begin to be suspicious of them, or you begin to not trust them because they don't come through. It only takes once or twice to ruin your reputation in that way, doesn't it? I mean, you can have a lifetime of being a person of your word, but there are times when we don't do what we say we're going to do, and what it does is it creates distrust, and it creates this suspicion of that person that you made promises to. Psalm 15, verse 4 says this: those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Ouch. Keep their promises even when it hurts. You know what that means? That means this, that sometimes we overcommit and we say we're going to do something, and then it's like, okay, now I got to follow through. Now I got to do what I say I'm going to do. And inevitably then, we back out of it, you know? We find excuses, we try to, you know, manipulate and try to cover it up or whatever. But this says that we do what we say we're going to do even when it costs us, even when it hurts, even when it requires more than we thought it would, we're going to do what we say we're going to do. And I think it's important that we live our lives that way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will bring encouragement to those who hear them." So it's almost like there's two things that are contrasted. You have foul or abusive language, or you have good and helpful and encouraging language. And so we live in the tension between both, don't we? We live in that realm where we want to do what's right, we want to say what's right, we want to be good, we want to be helpful, we want to be encouraging, but inevitably, we find ourselves being at times foul and abusive. Now, that word foul is an interesting word because it's defined like this. It's defined like an open sewer, okay? Anybody ever been around, well, I'll say it like this. Have you ever been around an outhouse or one of those porta-potties? You know, you go to a Chiefs game or whatever, or KU or whatever team you like, and you're waiting in line, and somebody's gone in there and destroyed that thing. You know, and you're like, oh, great, thanks a lot. That's what this word's defined as. That's what it is. A few months ago, I walked into church one morning, and there was a terrible smell. And I was like, what has happened? What has happened? Well, a breaker had went off. Somebody blew a breaker, and one of our freezers in the back, now this is in the back of the gym, and it's in a closet, and the freezer was actually shut, okay? So there's several layers here. I walked in the front doors, and this is several yards away or meters away, and I smelled it. What had happened is there was a bunch of chicken in there that had rotted. And it was terrible, you guys. I mean, it was terrible. It took a few days to get that smell out of the church. And they had to buy some special stuff to get the freezer because, you know, it gets into the plastic of the freezer and all that. Well, here's what's crazy. So we were moving it out. We were going to get rid of it anyway because we didn't need it anymore. We were going to give it away. And as we were moving it, I kept smelling it, you know. And I looked down, and what had happened is that when the chicken rotted, it went down into the drain pan of the freezer, and it was sloshing around on the floor, and it got on my shoe. And no matter where I went that day, no matter what I did, it was on my shoe, even a little bit. And it smelled. I mean, it was terrible. It was one of the worst smells I've ever smelled before. And I don't even know how I cleaned my shoe. But that thing followed me wherever I went because it sloshed on the floor and I stepped in it, and it was terrible. But here's the thing. Sometimes our words are like that. Sometimes our mouths are like that. It's like an open sewer. It's like rotted chicken, you know, that we speak. And it shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be that way, you guys. We should be different. We should be people that say good and helpful things and encourage one another. And so I think we can all work on that. The other thing is this, that I think if you're like me, you can fall into negativity and being critical and even judgmental. And you know when that happens to me? It happens when I'm tired. It really does. When I'm tired and I've had a long day and I come home and maybe I'm watching TV and I feel myself slipping into it. I feel myself slipping into negativity. I feel myself slipping into fault finding and being critical. And I always know I'm doing it when I'm watching TV with Deb and I start talking to the TV about the commercials and things. I start telling them how stupid they are and I don't need to see that. What's that all about? And I say all kinds of things. And I know that I'm slipping into it. we can get that way with people where we're negative and we're critical and we're fault-finding, and we begin to just spew that like an open sewer. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live my life as one of those grumpy old guys. Like, I don't want to be that way where something's always wrong. You know, have you ever been around, and it's always old guys, isn't it? It's always these old guys. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to be one of those old guys that slips into everything's wrong, get off my yard, you know, quit, you know, all that. I'm not going to be that way. So here's another thing. You can say the right thing with the wrong attitude, right? Or have a bad motive. Some other areas of improvement. A lot of times our conversation can go into sexual things, you know. And there are some people that say some really funny stuff. But you know what? Is it really helpful? Is it really necessary? Is it really needful? And so I want to give you permission. And when you're at work or whatever it is you're doing with your family or whatever, and they're telling jokes or things that are, you know, foul in nature, that you don't have to laugh. You don't have to join in, even if you don't say anything. That you have permission to walk away and to not partake of what they're up to in those areas. And the other thing is this: just because it's true doesn't always need to be said. Isn't that right? Just because it's true doesn't always mean that it needs to be said. So here's where we're going to go now. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to look into Proverbs to see some areas that can produce an open sewer or can be foul. Okay, you guys ready? All right, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24 says this: avoid all perverse speech. Stay away from corrupt speech. And this is interesting because these two words, perverse and corrupt, they're different words in the original language, but they have one word that is similar. And it's the word crooked. And I thought that was really interesting because our words can be crooked, where God says, God wants us to be straight. He wants us to shoot straight, to be straight with people. And yet, how many of you know that the enemy is crooked? And the enemy wants your words to be crooked. And so the way our words can be crooked are that they're perverse or they're corrupt. And God wants us to live better in that way. And the word crooked could be defined as, and both of these words sort of combined, could mean belittle or ridicule, but it also means that we can take talking down to people in that sense as well. And also, how about this one? And this isn't part of this, but I think it'll fit. How about tone? Tone is a big one, isn't it? Tone. Any of you guys have kids? Little kids, or you're taking a tone with me, you know? Nobody likes that. No, have you ever been around a couple and they've fought for so long that they don't realize that it's awkward? Have you ever been around a couple like that and they're taking tone with each other? And you know what it is? They're fussing. They're not really out fighting, and it's not a knockdown dragout, but they're fussing. That's a Southern word. Fussing means that they're just picking at one another. That is awkward and weird. Nobody likes to be around that. Nobody wants to witness that. So let's watch our tone. Let's watch how we talk to one another. Let's watch the attitude that we have, okay? I think that's real important. Proverbs 6, let's move on. Proverbs 6 says this: there are six things that the Lord hates, no seven. Now, first of all, I want to say this. I don't want to do anything that the Lord hates. I want to stay way away from that. I want to get as far away as I can from whatever the Lord hates. But did you know that out of the seven things that the Lord hates, three of them have to do with our words? Did you know that? Which is really interesting. So what that tells me is that our tongues can get us in a lot of trouble. Our words can get us in a lot of trouble if we're not careful. And here's what he says in verse 17b. He says, a lying tongue. In verse 19, a false witness that pours out lies. And then finally, a person who sows discord in a family. Someone who stirs up strife or stirs up trouble all the time. Anybody have have somebody in your family that's like that. They're always stirring up trouble. They're always causing problems. And they'll call one person and get this person stirred up, and then they'll call somebody else, and then they just kind of stand back and watch it all happen. Any of you related to somebody like that or around some, work with somebody like that? And these days, you guys, with social media and all that's going on, I mean, words tear down and build up. They tear down and build up. Just recently, and this was public that happened, but a young boy, 14 years old, that I conducted his funeral. It was all because of words. Things that were said, and he committed suicide. Because of things that were said via the internet, via emails. How many times are words used by electronic means to tear people down or to build people up? Proverbs 16, verse 27. Scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife, and gossip separates the best of friends. I think the worst of the worst would probably be defamation or slander. It's when people say things about you that aren't true. And that can cause a bunch of damage. And it's considered the worst of the bunch. I mean, have you ever been around somebody that told you something about somebody, or you heard something about somebody, and then later it was proven to not be true, but yet you still had some residue of suspicion about that person, even though you knew it wasn't true? That's how damaging this can be. That's how destructive this can be, that when we say things about people or we listen to things about people, that it can cause great damage. Probably one of the biggest ones in the church is what we would say gossip. And that's found in Proverbs 25. It says, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never again regain your good reputation. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. That's what I want to be like. I want my words to be like apples of gold and baskets of silver. That's the way I want to be. And yet, gossip is one of those things that can be the direct opposite of that. All right, gossip is a tricky one. It's slick because in Christianity, it's framed with spirituality. Such as, hey, I got something that we need to pray about. Or I think you should know something that we should pray about. And you know what we call it? We call it the gossip train. And people are calling this person and saying, and I don't think it's here in Emmanuel, because you guys aren't like that. But I've been a part of churches where it was. And it is destructive. And there is no good thing that comes out of it. There's really not. And it causes a lot of harm and a lot of heartache. And Strong's defines gossip like this. It refers to a person who engages in spreading rumors, often with the intent to harm someone else's reputation or to sow discord. It is often used in the context of someone who goes about as a talebearer, spreading slanderous and malicious reports. They're also called a scandal monger. A scandal monger. So that's something that's, you know, I'd never heard before. It's like these tasty morsels of gossip, you know, spilling the tea. It may be one of the most tempting aspects of you and I being believers. However, true and real followers of Jesus Christ are different. Now, in the Israelite society, maintaining a community of harmony and trust was vital. And so the act of gossip or being a talebearer was seen as a very serious offense, because it could lead to division, mistrust, and a breakdown of society, cohesion in a society. The Bible warned against this behavior, emphasizing the importance of truthfulness and integrity in speech. Now, that was interesting. This week I read an article on the internet about this, and this is what it said. It said, we've all been tempted to enjoy or to indulge in some juicy gossip. It's human nature, like we're in on a secret. But the most composed and respected individuals that I've come across stay clear of it. Why? Because gossip is a slippery slope. And it might start out innocently enough, but it can quickly spiral into toxic habits and behavior that erodes trust and respect. Classy individuals, like you and me, we're classy here at Emmanuel. Classy individuals understand that what goes around comes around, and if you trash talk somebody else today, you might be tomorrow's main course on somebody else's gossip menu. Beyond that, belittling others doesn't make you look better. It merely underscores any insecurities you might be trying to mask. So God help us, right, with our motivation. Like by all means, I'm not telling that we shouldn't pray for people. I mean, absolutely. But what's our motivation? You know, are we telling things because it makes us feel good? Or do we, you know, are we fishing? Are we digging for information? Because we want to know what's up. We want to know what's going on. You see, always remember that if they talk to you about somebody, then they will be talking to somebody else about you. Always remember that. So beware of people who trash talk. Don't be that guy, of course. Now, I've tried over the years, and hopefully I'm getting this better as I go along, but to be very confidential with conversations I have. I never want to assume that when somebody tells me something that I have the right to go and tell somebody else. And many times, I mean, 9 times out of 10, like, I don't even tell my wife unless I get permission. So if you've told her something or you've told me something and then you go to her or you go to me and we don't know, it's not that I don't care and that I didn't tell her, she didn't tell me. It's that I don't want her or me to slip and to say something that I shouldn't say. So I try to just keep it as general as possible and to not talk about things to her and myself as well, because it could cause great damage and great harm. You guys, I had to learn that the hard way. And you know, pastors can be the worst at this. And you know, we're under stricter judgment. I hope you guys know that teachers are under a greater standard. And even up here speaking, I have to be so careful, you guys, of what I say. I mean, inevitably, I'm going to make a mistake here and there. I mean, I've preached a lot of messages in my life. But here's the thing. I never want to tear people down with my words. I don't want to be that way. I want to build you up. I want you to be all that God's called you to be. And in order to do that, sometimes we really have to watch what we say. Don't you agree? Isn't that true? Okay, so there is one exception to this, and I'll explain it. And it's called intent. And the rabbis believe this. They believed that, and this is found in Leviticus 19:15, that we should not stand idly by and let someone's blood be shed. So what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means if you have a friend or you know somebody that's going to have some affiliation or deal with someone in a business or they're putting themselves out there for somebody else, and you know that this other person is shady and it has a reputation of not being a good person, and you don't warn that person, then you're shedding innocent blood. Did you know that? You see, we have a right to protect one another. I'll give you an example. So when I was a young pastor, I inherited some people. It was already an established church. And I had these people come to me and they say, "Pastor Blaine, you really need to watch out for this guy over here." And I was like, "All right." You know. And so I kept him at arm's length. Well, over the process of years, you know, he went to another church and then he came back and our church began to grow. And this person made themselves like indispensable to me. I mean, they were always there to help me. They were always there to do something. And always so available and always so accommodating and always so, you know, just helpful. And so slowly but surely, you know, this person won my confidence. Well, in the end, it cost me. Like, I should have listened, and I didn't. Well, this person left and went to another church. And so I called the pastor of that other church. I said, hey, dude, this guy's coming to your church, and you need to really watch out because he caused me a lot of problems. And you need to watch it. And he got mad at me. And I get it, you know, because he didn't know this guy. He didn't know. But he got mad at me. You know what happened? He did the same thing to him. And it happened again. So I called the pastor, you know, because this Second pastor was friends of mine. And I called him. I said, hey, dude, I'm telling you, I didn't listen, and it cost me. You know what? He didn't listen either. He called me about a year ago and said, I should have listened. I should have listened to you. You see, God puts us in situations where we can help one another out. And it's not that we're slandering anybody or we're trash-talking anybody. We're just trying to help keep our people that we care about safe from shedding innocent blood. Does that make sense? And there's a way to do it. Like you just say, hey, my experience firsthand has been that my dealings with this person have not always worked out, and I think you should just be careful. That's all you got to say. Like, you don't have to run them down. You don't have to drag them through the mud. But what you want to say is you want to give them enough information for them to make their own decision. But you don't want them walking into it blindly. Does that make sense? We owe it to one another to do that. We do. There's no badge of honor when you keep your mouth shut and knowing that this situation, that this person is going to hurt this other person. There's no badge of honor with that. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're shedding innocent, and the rabbis believe that way. The rabbis believe that we were held accountable. There's an obligation to protect the vulnerable that takes precedence over the obligation to guard my tongue. I'm going to repeat that. The obligation to protect the vulnerable takes precedence over the obligation to guard my tongue. And many people don't have right teaching in this. Like this has gone weird, where we think that we're doing good by not saying anything. And it causes a lot of harm. And it's not necessary. Like, if you know somebody's going to take advantage of somebody, why wouldn't you tell them? I mean, it makes perfect sense. And again, there's a way to do it. All right? Proverbs 26, as we bring this now, a couple more. Verse 18, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon, there's a lot of that these days, is someone who lies to a friend and then says, I was only joking. You ever done that? Oh, man, I was just kidding. Were you? Were you kidding? You know what I find myself doing from time to time? I'll say that, and in my heart of hearts, there's probably a little seed of truth to what I'm saying. And you know what it is? It's a passive-aggressive way of getting to dig in on somebody. And you can mask it. You can say, well, I was only joking, which covers the whole thing. So it's like you're off the hook. Like, you can say what you want to say, oh, I was just joking. That's passive-aggressive, man. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be that guy. You know, taking a dig at somebody and just say, well, I was only joking, you know. And of course, listen, don't overthink this. Yeah, it's fun to have fun and joke with people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about from your heart when you and I do and say things that we shouldn't say. All right. Another one. How about this one? Flattery. This is a big one. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words cause ruin. So I had this person that Deb and I knew, and when they first met Deb and I mean, they were like, oh, yeah, you guys are like this power couple. Oh, yeah, you guys are this and that. And I was like, what are you even talking about? And I never believed it for a minute. You know, I was like, it's too much. Like, have you ever met someone that's too much, and you know it's too much? Well, you know what happened? They ended up being a snake. They did. They ended up just being not a good person. And so flattery, listen to what flattery is, a compliment for self-promoting or for what you can get out of it. Be careful of people who flatter you. There's a difference between words of encouragement and flattery. Flattery is what you can get out of it. You're saying something to manipulate somebody so that you can sometime call on a favor, or that you can use that to your advantage later on. We're not to be that way. Oxford Dictionary says this: excessive and insincere praise given especially to further one's own interest. I don't want to be that way, do you? I don't want to flatter. And then finally, did you know that there are over 100 verses in the Bible about lying? Lying, yeah. And tells us that it's pretty much something that is part of human nature, of course, but that we shouldn't do. Ephesians 4:25 says this, Stop telling lies and let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. So we're not supposed to tell lies. We're supposed to tell the truth. And people lie for different various reasons. They lie to be liked. They lie to get out of trouble. I mean, for whatever. Some people just lie. Like, it'd be easier to tell the truth. And they lie. It's like, I don't get that. You know, I think it's something wrong with their brains. Really. I do. I think it's a mental condition, and the enemy uses it. Jesus tells us to tell the truth. Here, finally, all right. How many of you read Dante's Inferno? Have you read the literary masterpiece, Dante's Inferno? In Dante's Inferno, there are 9 circles of hell, and they progressively get worse and worse, and the punishment becomes worse and worse as well. And the very, very core of hell, you know who's there? The betrayers, like Judas and those type of people. But you know what's at level 8? So just one above level 9. Level 9's the worst. I don't want to go to any of them, but I definitely want to stay away from level 8 and 9. You know what's at level 8? People that lie. People who are slanderers. People who tear other people down with their words. Listen, I don't want to be that guy. And I know you don't either. Let's stand together today. I want to be like James 1:19 that says to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Is that the way you want to be? You want to be quick to listen and slow to speak? Listen, don't overanalyze this. Don't walk away from here worried that you're going to say, listen, that's not the point of this. The point is that we need to listen to the Holy Spirit to say what we need to say, or to not say what doesn't need to be said. How many of you would say, I want to be that? I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Yeah. So Lord, help us. Lord, this is such a challenging thing to talk about. It's a challenging thing to address, because there's so many ways that we can get into trouble. But Lord, there's also so many ways that we can be a blessing too. That we can use the words of our mouth to bring life and to bring peace and to bring joy into people's hearts. And that's the way we want to be. And so Lord, let us be quick to listen and slow to speak. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of us, that we would hear your voice, we would do your will, and we would follow you more than anything else. And we thank you for that. Lord, we trust you, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Pastor Raymond, could you come and pray just as a dismissal? We're going to dismiss now, and we'll have somebody at the cross to pray for you as well. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Pastor Blaine. What a good word today. One of my favorite verses, and I, you know, it's a great one to commit to memory, is let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. So, Father God, as we go today, Lord, let the words of our mouth be pleasing to you. Let the words that we speak to each other, to our children, to our families, Lord, be pleasing to you. Let the words that we speak to the stranger in the community, at the grocery store, at the bank, Lord, be pleasing to you. Let the words that we speak to ourselves in our hearts and our minds be pleasing to you, Lord. We thank you that you are a loving God, and no matter what we say, no matter what we do, Lord, that you love us, Lord, but we can come to you with these things, and we can trust you with these things, and we can trust you to change what needs to be changed in our hearts and our lives, Lord. Bless us as we go. Help us as we follow your will, Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. We love you. Be blessed. Have a good weekend.